live from Liverpool. We don't need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Hello, you wonderful, wonderful people. If you are not bored of our voices yet, then God bless you. It is indeed a merry Monday, and it's time for We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts. Hello, Rebecca.
Hello.
Becca's with us, of course. She didn't murder me after yesterday's episode. And
you're welcome.
I am welcome. And we're both a bit tired today, I think, aren't we? Feeling it a bit today.
Just a little.
Just a little. So, we're going to talk about a programme that we watched, or we started to watch, called Tiger King.
Yeah, we're slightly behind the curve on this one, aren't we? But we have started watching it. How many have we watched?
Three?
Yeah, I think three as well. Yeah. The second one. Was it the second one?
We can't have many spoilers in it, can we? Because people might want to watch it.
Yeah, I guess.
What was you going to say about the second one?
Well, it was...
Was it a spoiler?
It was going to be a spoiler, yeah. It was almost certainly going to be a spoiler. I was going to talk about that bit that we found really funny.
Which bit?
Well, I can't say it now because you just said we can't.
You can,
spoilers.
Go on, you can.
You've just said
you can't. Now we can. If you watch one of us, Tiger King, skip this by 5 minutes. Go on.
Okay. So, it's the bit when I was laughing and turned around to you and said, you know what? You know when Joe Exotic, literally the self-proclaimed Tiger King, comes out with something like so common sense, you know this is like, you're really in trouble there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's how they were talking about Carol.
Carol Baskin.
Carol Baskin's husband's... Will, like that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because allegedly she murdered her husband, didn't she?
Yeah. And Joe just says, "Well, you know, usually in these things, it says upon my death." He says first sentence. It literally says upon my disappearance.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
You're like, what? How is that?
Yeah.
And then it cuts to a lawyer, and they're like, "Is this common?" And he's like, "You know, 37 years. I've seen thousands of upon my deaths. I've never seen it upon my
disappearance."
We're laughing about it, like upon my mysterious April disappearance. Yeah, yeah. I want everything to go to the wife.
So
written by the wife.
Yeah, she's still like she's not being like framed at this murder or blamed for it or arrested for it.
We have no idea. We're only on episode three.
Well, no, yeah, but it's a very good point. Yeah, but up to now she's free as a bird. But hysterically, when her husband died, she broke into his accountant's office, took his wills, replaced them with new wills.
That she had typed up?
That she typed up. And like she says, this has been, like it even says in the documents, this has been made up by not Carol Baskin. Oh yeah, by Carol Baskin, yeah.
This has been typed up by
Typed up by Carol Baskin. It says, who's the person who gets everything? Carol Baskin, in the event of my disappearance.
Yeah.
And like, and the police
about... disappearance.
But interestingly, like her brother-in-law was a policeman, so it sounds like it's all dead dodgy, but it's very good. Would recommend you watch it.
Yeah, I'm into the songs.
Yeah, and it's good because you think his songs are amazing, but you would think from episode one, well, this is just about, like, rival zoo owners, but it's not, because at the end of every episode, there's something which makes you want to watch the next one.
Yeah, we were saying the documentary, because as they were making it, they must have been like, what? This is amazing, like, brilliant. Like, the first thing was that, like, all this rivalry goes on, because at first you just think it's, like, it is just zookeepers, and there's all this rivalry. And then there was something else where they were like, the documentary, that was it. Well, you know, obviously after Carol's husband disappeared, and the documentary is like,
what? Yeah.
What did you just say? Like, yeah, you know, husband disappeared. It must be like amazing. And then when it found out that everyone thinks she's like fed them to the tigers,
exactly.
Like, this is gold.
It's like the first 50 minutes of it, you just genuinely think it's about tiger breeders. And then, as Becca says, he literally goes like, within the last 2 minutes of the first episode, he goes, well, you know, her husband did disappear. No one knows where he is. And he thinks he's been fed to tigers. And the fella's like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, episode two. Yeah. Did she do it? Like, bloody hell, this is amazing.
Yeah, so that's what we're doing. So we're watching a couple of those. I was a bit on the fence at first, but I think we will carry on with it because I'm into it now.
Yeah, we watched a couple last night back to back and it was worth it. Because I'm all about Joe Exotic. I think he's amazing. He's just so funny. And I love his head zookeeper. He's this proper big stoner fella who's just like, I don't care. He's amazing. So watch Tiger King. I know that you probably might be trying to sway against the tide because we were like that. We were like, number one in the UK, won't want to watch that.
We're so judgmental about
I know, yeah.
Things.
It's like, if everyone else likes that, we won't.
Probably hate it.
But it turns out it's actually quite good. What I was going to say, so yeah, there's that. Well, we watched, starting to watch Ozark as well, aren't we?
Yes, because everyone raves about Ozark. We watched the first Ozark ages ago and you wouldn't watch another one.
No,
said,
I didn't like it.
Hated it.
But then all my mates have raved about it, and your dad's raved
about it. So we've decided to give it another go. I was fine with the second episode. I'll watch.
Yeah, I was all right with it. It took me a while to take to him. You know why it is? He reminds me of someone else. And I don't like actors who remind me of other actors, because I think you're not, especially if the other actor's better.
So you don't like acting as a career? You prefer it to be like a one-time thing, and they play one role and then they just disappear again?
No, I mean, like, let's say you've got Michael J. Fox, and you go, hooray, Michael J. Fox, Back to the Future guy, hooray. Mm-hmm. And let's say there's an actor who looks a little bit like Michael J. Fox, but he's not been in anything iconic. I wouldn't like him, because I'd be like, oh, you just like a crap J. Fox. My crap J. Fox.
Is this why you hate the
My
guy
crap
who does
J. Fraud.
The, is it, what's it for? Is it Talk Talk or Yorkshire Tea? The advert?
This is why I hate the, no, he does the, what's the UK broadband advert? What's the, you know who I mean? It's the fella who's not Peter Kay, nor Jason Manford.
Yeah.
Hey, it's broadband. It's British. Oh, didn't expect that. Garlic bread. And it's like, oh, go away, you fraud.
Tell you what, though, you do love one, someone who's not the other people, but...
Yeah, not at and deck.
Yeah, not at and deck. Yeah, a few years ago when Catchphrase was coming back on, I said to Kev, oh, Catchphrase is coming back. And he was like, oh, yeah, who's hosting it? And I went, oh, and I completely forgot his name. And I went, you know that guy who's not at and deck?
And it's Stephen Mulhern.
Yeah, Stephen Mulhern.
So you won't understand any of that if you're from the States, but basically a very popular duo hosts in the UK is Ant and Dec. They used to be kid stars, and now they're adult stars. Not in that way. And anyway, this third guy, Stephen Mulhern, he's kind of always there in the field reporter, if you like, and he's done it for years. So therefore, when Becca said...
And he does look a bit like...
And he does look like he's of the same cloth. So when Becca said, you know that fella who's not Ant and Dec, because she didn't know his name, I knew exactly who she meant.
Just straight away, like, yes, I know exactly who.
And it was Stephen Mulhern. So the other thing
I
that...
I like him now, don't you?
I like him, yeah, I do like him because, solely because you refer to him as not Ant and Dec. I'm all about him now. The other thing that we thought we'd look at in this episode is there's a very famous British ghost hunter.
Oh, you're talking about ghosts?
I know, yeah, but it's all right. I'm allowed to. The key word in the title is need.
Okay.
No, we're not going to. We don't need to talk about ghosts,
but we
can.
Okay.
It's just too long a title. And his name is Peter Underwood, and he's, let me just swap hands a sec. In the UK ghost hunting scene, he's literally a legend. He's up there with Price, Harold Price maybe? Can't remember his name. But anyway, Peter Underwood is like a godfather. He's dead now, I think, but he's a godfather of the British ghost hunting scene. And I have in my very hands right here a book, and that book is the A to Z of British ghosts.
I hate that we have stuff like this in the house.
Why? Or the A to Z of British ghosts, if you want to be American.
Would you say A to Z?
Would I say A to
Z? No, like in America, would you say A to Z? Not
yeah,
A to Z?
Yeah. Okay. That's why the alphabet works, because it rhymes. A, B, C,
Don't
D,
do all
E, F, G.
Stop
okay,
right
let me skip the middle bit. T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z.
Do you think they changed it just to make it fit with the song?
No. They say A to
I
Z. As quick as A to Z. They do say Z. They don't say Z like we do. Okay. We got it wrong. Otherwise, we should go...
We invented it, which means we got it wrong.
We didn't invent the alphabet.
We invented English.
Fair play. But no, like, we should go... We should change V to Ved. T, U, Ved, W, X, Y, and Z.
Double Ved as well.
Yeah, I'm all right with that.
Like, is it French, where it's V and then double V, because a V, the W is two
Only
two
halfway there.
But then we say double U, and it's not really
it's
a
not
U,
really
it's
U,
more
it's
a
V.
V,
isn't it?
Yeah.
So no, W's fine, because we don't have to do it. So, T, U, V, W, X, Y, and Z.
Okay, yeah, you should
So, from now on, V, if we ever need to use the letter on its own right, is V. So I would spell, for example, victory.
No one needs
V-I-C-T. I forget what to spell it because I've made a letter up. It's that easy to confuse me.
Moving on.
I thought that the intro in this book said to my wife Joyce fucking Elizabeth, but it's because I glanced down and it doesn't. It says to my wife Joyce Elizabeth for everything.
Quite aggressive, wouldn't it?
It would be. It would be. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a little look. I'm going to skim through, similar to what we've done with the. Penguin Guide of Superstitions of Britain and Ireland. Mm-hmm. I'm going to scan through. You're going to tell me to stop, and I'm going to tell you an interesting ghost of Britain. Right?
Okay. Stop.
Right, I'm going to go up and down the page.
Stop.
Right, I'm going to tell you about Felbrigg near Norwich, Norfolk, okay?
Okay.
Noble Felbridge Hall, built on the site of an older Felbridge residence, was a long time the home of the Wyndhams, a family that included the patriotic statesman William Wyndham and the notorious Mad Wyndham, who died in 1866. Later, the house passed to the Kitten family.
Kitten?
Yeah, but with an O, not an E.
Oh.
And one of the Miss Kittens told the traveller and author Augustus Hare in 1834 and died in 1903. Mr. Wyndham comes every night to look after his favourite books in the library. He goes straight to the shelves where they are. We hear him moving the tables and chairs about. We never disturb him, though, for we intend to be ghosts ourselves some day and come back here just as he does. So, and that's the intent of the story.
It's great, yeah.
Extent of the story. So what they're saying is, there's a ghost. They don't want to bother the ghost because they too want to be ghosts, where this ghost is indeed a ghost. That make much sense to you?
I did stop listening a little bit. Sorry.
Really?
Yeah,
sorry. How very dare you?
I know, sorry.
And I spell very, V-E-R-Y.
You were doing that voice.
Yes, of course I'm doing that voice because I'm meant to be an
ye-olde
Englishman.
I know, I just find it hard to concentrate.
In general?
No. When you're talking for prolonged periods.
So rude. Oh, sorry. That reminds me.
Oh, good.
That from yesterday's episode, we've had a few comments on the Facebook page to say there's an EVP.
All right, okay.
And on yesterday's episode.
All right.
Yeah, and I actually can't hear it.
Okay.
So do you want to see if we can hear it? If I can find my phone. Where's my phone? There it is. Let's see if we can hear it.
So unprofessional.
Well, I've only just thought about it now, haven't I? It's not unprofessional, it's unprepared. Get it right.
Well, being unprepared is unprofessional, so boom.
Fair enough. I see your argument and I raise you. Let's see.
Okay. So you've got to find the right thing as well, so we're going to hear...
like chiffon's shirt.
Yeah, oh, there's me speaking. There's me and you speaking. It's around 14 minutes. When there's 14 minutes left... thereabouts.
Mother Potty has really made me laugh over.
And as if in bed with me, I hear a sigh. The bookcase is 3 feet away from here.
Hold on, guys, bear with me.
Yuri Geller done it.
It can be so...
It's when you say about the watch, apparently.
Unless it was a safety bomb.
There we go.
In which case... No, that is pretty damn scary, that.
See, the watch, I feel like batteries can be so... fluctuating, yeah. Because it's just not the case with batteries that they're... the full, and then they just steadily go down. And then
I can't hear anything.
Stop, you know,
no.
Especially that, you know,
what
was it played then?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. No, that is pretty damn scary, that.
See, the watch, I feel like batteries can be so fluctuating, yeah, because it's just not the case with batteries that they're the full, and then they just steadily go down, and then they completely stop, you know.
I can't, unless you need headphones on for it, but I did have headphones on yesterday and I couldn't hear it. So, you never know. If anyone can enhance that, maybe. Yeah. I mean, I'm the one with the audio equipment. I could enhance it, couldn't I? Maybe that's what I should do. I'll try and do that. Remember, we're not having a show tomorrow because we need a day off so we can try and recharge our batteries. But I'll try and enhance that tomorrow. I'll have a little look. Right then. Let's do another story from here, seeing as you're paying so much attention. Pay attention this time.
Right, okay.
Okay, tell me what to
stop. Try not to speak so boring.
How very do. Right, go on. Tell me when to stop. Stop.
Stop.
Oh, that's in the middle of a big one, so what I'll do is I'll go forward to the next one. Right. This is from Hastings in Sussex.
Can I read it?
Oh, if you must. If you must. Yeah, yeah. Well, in.
Well, why have you got little bits of paper for now? Anyway. Hastings, Sussex. The castle is said to have been the scene of the first tournament in England held for Adela, daughter of William the Conqueror. After the castle had ceased to be a stronghold, it was used as a religious house and there were frequent reports of ghostly organ music being heard here. A figure, believed to be Thomas A. Becket, had been seen within the precincts of the castle on autumn evenings, never at any other time of the year. There are stories, too, of the sounds of rattling chains and the groans of starving prisoners, perhaps some strange echo from the past. It is said that on certain sunny, misty mornings, a huge mirage of Hastings Castle can be seen far out at sea on the horizon. This might be explained as a result of reflection and refraction of light, were it not that the castle appears again in all its former glory, with flags flying from the turrets.
Oh, that's interesting. I like that.
So, why? Why would there be a huge mirage out at sea? Like, from your ghostly perspective, if you're saying, yeah, haunted, whatever, why would that be the case? Why would they do that?
Is your question here, oh, tell me why, did they build castles in the sky? Is that your question?
Not quite.
You disco diva. I don't know, Beck. You know, it's like saying, why does the earth keep on turning? Why is the sun in the sky? Don't they? Oh, no, I'm not saying that. Anyway, I've no idea. It's a mirage, isn't it? I don't think there's anything spooky about that.
I love the lackadee. Well,
That's a Skype message.
I love the lack of detail on these things, though. Like a figure believed to be Thomas A. Beckett, and then that's it. It doesn't say why they believed this or how they believed this or any evidence whatsoever for that. Just probably the Dalai Lama, that.
That's a good point. Did you see that thing on where Trump went to India and he said he was probably the most famous person to have ever arrived in India? And everyone was like, no. Gandhi's B, mate.
Probably not.
Yeah. Okay, do you want to pick another story? Are you going to flip through and I'll tell you to stop?
Yes, I'm going to flip through.
Okay. Flip. Stop. Stop.
Oh, Newton Lee Willows.
Newton Lee Willows?
Yeah, that's relative.
Like, yeah, we could get the train to there in like 20 minutes.
Near Warrington in Lancashire, and Warrington is relatively close to Liverpool.
Yeah, about half an hour.
Mm-hmm. It's only a small one. You ready?
Yeah, that's what they all say.
It says, here the ghostly tramping footsteps of the Chocked Battalion are said to be heard sometimes during the month of August. The sounds are reputed to have originated with the Highlanders caught by Cromwell's men here in August 1648 and summarily hanged on nearby trees.
Wow, I didn't know that. So in Newton Lee Willows, Highlanders made their way that far down from Scotland.
Yes, and they were hanged.
Or hung, even.
There.
That's amazing.
Nearby trees. Yeah.
Well, I did not know that the Highlanders made them that far down into England. Because that's, as I say, it's 20 minutes away in a train, if that.
Yeah, that is.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Go on, let's have one more and then we'll call an end to this Monday one. Sorry it's a little bit, like, all over the place, guys, but both a bit tired.
I'm used to it with you.
And I need to just be.
It's not like it's usually a slick operation.
Just need to make sure that we have a recharge day tomorrow and get back to bouncing and full of energy.
Ready?
Stop.
Okay. Back down to Norfolk. This is Wayland Wood.
Oh.
This is the wood. Oh. This is the wood said to have been.
Aye. So you've got your breath. Is it that exciting?
This is the wood said to have been the original one of the Babes in the Wood story.
Oh, that's interesting.
The babes were Norfolk children, and here, where their uncle's ruffian servants left them to die. Oh, sorry, flopping. Two little ghostly figures are seen on misty nights, wandering silently among the trees, hand in hand, looking for a way out. Unexplained wailing cries have been heard at night times in this lonely spot.
Oh, I didn't realise the Babe in the Woods, or Babes in the Wood, was about dead kids.
No, I didn't. I think I've heard of it, but I haven't.
To be honest, I've no idea what Babes in the Wood is.
No. So it sounds like the uncle left. Well, it says the uncle left them to die. Or rather, the uncle's ruffian servants left them to die.
The ruffian servants of the uncle? Honest to God. What a naughty uncle. Naughty uncle.
We recently discovered that you. I think this must have been an inheritance thing. Maybe. No, it can't be royalty, or I'd say it. But you had a misunderstanding of the way the crown is inherited, didn't you?
Yes, I did, because I assumed if...
You thought Harry was second in line to the throne, didn't
you? I thought if Charles abdicates, then William will be king, and then if he abdicates, then Harry will be next. But no, it just follows that Prince of Wales route, doesn't it?
Yes, so it goes from father to son, not to brothers. So that's why you often find in stories, like the evil uncle who kills his brother's children, because that's the only way that he'll inherit the throne, by wiping out.
Oh, so it's only the firstborn son that it inherits, and then it's his firstborn son. It's his firstborn son.
Yes, ideally, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if William has three children, it'll go to the oldest one there. If, heaven forbid, something was to happen there, it would go to his next eldest child until that child has a child of their own, in which case it goes generationally.
Yeah. As opposed to, yeah. So it goes
down the tree, never across.
Okay, so answer me this, old royal expert here. If Charles abdicated, if the Queen dies,
yeah.
Hope she doesn't, God save her and all that, carry on. If the Queen dies and Charles then chooses to abdicate and not ascend the throne,
mm-hmm.
but William had no children and William became king, if William then died, would then Harry be next in line?
Yes, exactly. And that's what I meant when I said that's why you often get in stories that evil uncle kills his...
Brother.
His brother's children. No, his brother's children.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, because if there are no children, then it goes to him. So this was you know the whole princes in the Tower?
Yes.
They're from...
Duke of York, the Tudor and...
Just before the Tudor period. Tudors, yeah. Yeah,
they were York. Lancashire kids, weren't they?
Yes. So, Edward was king, and he had children, and then Edward died, and this was the whole controversy over it, because it obviously should, by right, go to his children, who were quite young at the time, but, well, a lot of people say Richard, and this is why he was widely thought of, that it was him. When the two children disappeared, the two sons anyway, because daughters didn't count back then. And they didn't count until a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
When they disappeared, it went to Richard. So Richard would stood to gain. Basically,
so he was just minding the throne, wasn't he, up to that point? Really?
Yes, he should have just been looking after it on their behalf. But if they're not there anymore, then it would go to him.
Interesting.
Now you know.
Yeah. It turns out I'm royalist. I didn't think it would be with being, you know...
We've been so against
privilege and I'm being Irish Roman Catholic. I didn't realise I was actually all for the Queen. But
you practically had your hands on your heart during that speech.
No, I hate England in the nicest possible way, and I hate the British people in general. I don't really hate too strong a word. I don't, and I am British myself, obviously, and English. But there's something about the Queen that I really, and the royal family. You know, I've got a soft spot for them because I think they were just thrown into it and they're like...
Yeah, thrown into a baffling level of privilege that the likes of us will never understand.
Yeah, I get that. I do get that, but, like, again, that's not their fault.
No, don't just throw me into a palace, a literal palace. But you can't... What am I supposed to do with these hundreds of jewels and rooms?
But what my point is that you can't help being born, can you?
No.
So they're born into it and they all seem like nice people, you know. None of them are bellends, are they?
The bit that got me when you were talking about, when you said, I don't think she gets enough credit, that just killed me. I just couldn't abide that. Because, like, my God, if there's one thing she gets, it's credit.
No, what I meant is I think she gets too much stick.
She doesn't get any stick.
Are you joking? Honestly, people want to see her head on a spike.
No, they don't. They do. People love the Queen. Everyone loves the Queen. Meghan Markle, they want to see her head on a spike for reasons best known to themselves.
No, the thing with her, my point of it is that, yes, she's born into privilege, but you can't help that. But I think she's just lovely. I do, and I think she does.
Yeah, but no one hates the Queen. Everyone loves the Queen.
Yeah, because she's nice.
She gets due credit, is what I'm saying. It's not
if she gets credit where it's due, then she deserves to live in a palace because she's lovely.
Right, so
what I'm saying is that anyone can be born into. Let's put it this way: let's say if there was a prince born right into royalty, you can't help being born into that royal family, and he grew up and he was like Trump. Do you know what I mean? You wouldn't be like, ah. You know, I like the way I am being about Her Majesty the Queen here. You wouldn't be? If he was like, well, I've never touched a woman, but I've touched the ones who led me. And, well, you're disabled, so go away.
Well, I mean, this is a bit of a difficult subject, really, because you have got someone who's, like, under accusations for being best mates with a paedophile. And God knows the elder male royals, is just shocking over the years.
Yeah.
Like, the signs of things have said is just awful.
No, that's a very good point, yeah.
So, yeah, but...
I kind of take it all back. Let's have Prince Trump.
I mean, obviously that would be a lot worse, but you know.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the Queen, though. I do like the Queen. You know what? You know when I first...
Did she get enough credit?
You know when I first gained this opinion of her, I'll be honest, is when I used to watch loads and loads and loads of World War II documentaries.
Mm.
And she absolutely went up... Because, you know, I think it was because when I was watching them, I was a similar age to her. Like, I think she was about, like, 20-odd or something, if not younger.
Mm.
And she was walking around as the Queen of England, and she was, like, you know, she was going to bombed places and being, like... And she was the ruler of the country, so she must have been thinking, this is horrible. what can you say to people who are losing everything? Mm-hmm. But had to still go out and, like, you know, say, I really commend what you're doing. Yeah. I don't know. And I just thought, God, I'm older than her. And if somebody said to me, listen, you've got millions of pounds, you've got to go to the poorest areas and say thank you for sending your children off to die, I'd be like, no fucking way. I'd be like, get the hot tub on. Get the hot tub on. Get the PlayStation on and order me an Uno's pizza, because there's no way I'm doing that. But she did. I know you could say, well, she's got to. But yeah, but she doesn't have to do it with such grace, does she?
Maybe you'd like the crown.
To wear? No, are you trying to suggest that we overthrow? Or we become king
and
queen?
No, I don't think you can joke about that. I think we'll be put in the tower. No, I mean the crown of Netflix.
The crown of Netflix?
The Netflix series, The Crown.
Oh.
God's
sake. So I'm not getting crowned is what you're basically trying to say?
Yes, it's exactly.
There's no crown in this for
no
me.
No crown in this
other than a programme.
Yes, correct. But, you know, if you love the Queen so much, maybe you want to watch her.
Is that about her, is it?
Who else would it be about? The Crown!
Well, anyone who's wore it.
No,
there's been kings
her.
And queens
it's,
before
As if you
it.
Don't know it's about the Queen. Yes, of course it's
I don't,
about the Queen. You
I don't.
Don't act soft. You do.
I don't.
You know
the
Crown is about the modern royal family. It's about
I don't
the
know. I didn't know it was about the modern
you
royal
did,
family. I didn't.
You liar.
I didn't. It was like that other one that I've watched, but you haven't watched, and people raved about it, but I was like, I'm sorry, if I wanted to see someone struggling with a speech, then I'd watch me when I prepared for my best man speech for my mate. That the King's speech.
Yeah, I wanted to see that.
Oh, it's dull. It's
because
so
you think
dull.
The Crown was dull because it's very character driven and you're more into action driven things. I think I don't think you'd like The Crown.
Give me Sharknado any day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't think you'd be that into The Crown. But I mean, that was before you started waxing lyrical about the Queen. So who knows?
Yeah. It turns out I don't necessarily even think I'm a royalist. I just think I'm very pro Lizzie.
Well, let's see if she's so pro Charles when he takes it.
I don't think I will. I'm all right with him, but I'm not as pro Lizzie as I am pro Lizzie. I think it's because my nan was very pro Lizzie because they shared a birthday. I don't know what one.
Right.
But,
That makes perfect sense, yeah. That's a really good reason to be into something.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Right, anyway, on that bombshell, we're going to have tomorrow off from recording so that we can let our natteries be charged. That's proof
there.
You
keep saying this. Why does he keep telling people this?
Because, like I say to you about songwriting, you know, sometimes you need, if you try and write songs every day,
yeah, no, I mean,
you end
you
up just...
Yeah, banging on about the fact that we're not doing on Tuesday? I'm sick of hearing it.
Because I'm excited about why we're not doing on Tuesday, but I can't say anything, can I?
No.
See.
Just stop banging on about it. It's just there won't be one on Tuesday. It'll be fine. People will move on.
And so we'll speak to you Wednesday, basically, is what I'm trying to say. Okay, guys, hope you're still taking care of each other. And we'll speak to you on Wednesday.
See you later, guys. Bye.
Bye.